Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Awakening Podcast.
A place of honest and authentic conversations.
I'm your host, Timmy.
And I'm Uriel.
And today, we're doing something a little different. We're just going to have a conversation about struggle and why we've seen in our lives it's so critical and why it is that you're really nothing in life without struggle. And so, Uriel, I know that when we were planning for this, you had a lot of dope ideas that was just like a nice inspiration. And so I'm curious to hear from you. Why is it that struggle is something that you wanted to talk about today? And what role has it been playing, I'm going to say, particularly in the last 1 year for you?
Yeah. So originally I wanted us to have a conversation about this, mainly because the world is full of struggle. We all will struggle extensively throughout our lives.
Yeah.
And I feel that personally in my life, struggle has dictated a lot of my outcomes, and it has limited me to be able to pursue challenges or endeavors that could have yielded a lot of success for me. And when I've had to face struggle, I often folded, and folding to struggle then led to more negative outcomes as it continued to limit my ability to partake in opportunities or even just challenging myself day to day to improve. And there was a point in my life where I really just kind of hit rock bottom because of struggle. And I think that's when everything just kind of flipped. And I started to realize that struggle really isn't really a bad thing. Like, struggle really is like our best friend. It's an indicator that a lot of the time we are in an endeavor that we haven't done before. We are in uncharted territory, and we actually are going towards a path of new learning and developing new skills. And I think a lot of people, funnily enough, struggle with struggle.
Yeah, that's weird, as that sounds. That was good. I'll give you that. That was good. I think that you hit the nail on the head, man, because for myself, I know that historically speaking, struggle is something I looked to avoid by any means necessary.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've only recently started changing my relationship with. And a lot of it's actually, I would say, through conversations you and I have had. To just understand the way that you have been navigating the various struggles, especially in the last little bit that you've been through, because you've been through it, man. You've been through it. And watching you go through that with poise and grace is something that has been an inspiration to me for sure, man. Yeah,
appreciate that.
I think in my life, where struggle started to change, or where struggle started shifting in terms of the role that it played in my own life, was when I realized that the times that I have had the most success in my life, or the things that I'm the most proud of, were always on the other side of struggle.
Yeah.
And that's something that you hear all the time, right? That, oh, everything worthwhile is uphill. That's something John Maxwell says all the time. Or that in order to be able to grow, you need to be willing to go through hard things, right? There's a million different ways that we hear this. But when I was younger and I would hear things like that, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, that's just what people say, but I don't think that struggle is something that you necessarily need to go through. And how wrong I was, right? The older I got, the more I realized that the reason why struggle is so powerful is it shows you more of who you truly are. It's only when you are pressed that you know what is truly within you.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I think a lot of people that I followed along the years that I've been on this earth really sell on this idea of that notion of you really find out who it is that you are in struggle. But I think it's always kind of missing one very important piece that happened to me specifically. Okay. And that is that when you struggle, you certainly find out what kind of person you are, in sense that you kind of figure out whether or not you're kind of willing to dig deep into those uncharted territories that are scary, that you don't know what's behind a closed door or in that darkness. But I also think that the missing part that a lot of people don't uncover is that in finding out who it is that you are, you actually figure out all of the things that you're lacking in. And I think that you kind of hit rock bottom. You figure out like, damn, I'm not really built for this because of X, Y, and Z reasons. And that is the defining factor of whether or not you're going to make it through some of the struggles in life, or if you're going to fold to it. And I've been in both ends of that when I've actually overcome struggle in my own ways. And the interesting part about that is obviously when we struggle, we have a lot of people that are supportive of us and will give you advice on how to overcome that struggle. And the reason why I brought up the point about the skills that we lack in is a lot of the advice that I got when I was struggling in life it was good advice, but it actually didn't apply very well to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of came down to the fact that people will never understand what it is exactly that we're struggling with, because our perception and the way that we view the world is, no matter how identical a situation might be from one person to the other, is going to be drastically different. So I found that by really looking deep inside and accepting that there was specific skills that I really lacked in, and really honed down on working on those things to get me through that hardship, it really helped me overcome that and strengthen myself as a person, because I've learned to persevere through those difficult times. And it's like the saying of, like, when it rains, it pours. It's so true. When you start struggling and you feel it, it comes down, and you just kind of, you got to buckle down and get ready for the storm. But eventually it's going to end. And what you do during the storm is vastly different.
Yeah, man, I think you've encapsulated it so well, bro. Honestly, like, the viewpoint that we have of struggle obviously is going to have a huge determining factor on how it is that we're going to approach it. And I will say that it sounds like you've got, like, a pretty good viewpoint that you've been using for some time, a pretty good frame of reference that's yielded some good benefits. I think that the piece that a lot of people, myself included, miss when it comes to struggle is the fact that the perception that you have going into and coming out of is going to be the major determining factor of what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people, they're doing a whole lot of suffering, but they're not doing any growing. And I think that that's where people get jaded, right? You get depressed, you become bitter, you become angry, right? And you start to fall into that learned helplessness where you're like, no matter what it is that I do, I'm always going to be stuck where I am.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that one of the biggest learnings that I've had in the last, I'm going to even say the last 2 years, is that the moment that I see that, yeah, this is going to be a season of struggle, I start preparing myself mentally to be like, okay, what is it that I'm going to really hone in on that I want to get out of this time, right? I like this analogy of going to the gym and really working on that mind-muscle connection. That's something that's only been a recent addition to my workout routines.
Yeah.
I know you've been doing that for some time, but for myself, when I started learning about the importance of really thinking about what muscle you are trying to work out with each and every exercise, I could already see some huge benefits for myself, because it makes you more mindful. Yeah. And I think it's the same thing when you're going into struggle.
Yeah.
What is it that I want to get out of this season? What is it that I want to grow in, develop in? Where are the shortcomings that, or what are the shortcomings that I'm going to look to overcome so that they don't continue to hamper me in that same way?
Yeah.
It's powerful, right? And mindfulness, awareness, presence, right? These are topics that have come up time and again in the last conversations we've had, right? But I think that there's a reason for that. It's not a coincidence that these things are the things that we've been continually coming back to, because I think they're all so intrinsically tied together, right? And that any sort of change, any sort of growth is going to require that.
Coming back to what you're saying about that, I think we're tying all of the things together that we're talking about around really embracing the struggle and understanding that struggle will inevitably either build you or break you. And how you approach it can be either positive or detrimental to your overall well-being. I think the problem actually kind of extends a little bit further, because as a society, we live very comfortable lives and we don't necessarily face a lot of challenges as we're growing up. I can personally say I was very fortunate, even though I did struggle as a kid in a variety of ways. Overall, I had a very comfortable upbringing, and my parents certainly struggled to provide that upbringing to us. And the way that they handle struggle, my parents work incredible hours. You know, they get up at most days 7 a.m. and they're not back till 12, 1 a.m. and they repeat that Monday to Friday. And they've built their business from the ground up via just almost like brute force, really, because that's their motto. But they've worked from nothing their entire life. And so I don't necessarily have those skills because I never had to struggle as much as them. Of course, the struggle that I'm going is certainly different. And I think that there's discussions of whether or not the types of struggle, whether they're physical, mental, spiritual, can be more intense than others. I don't actually believe that. I think that falls down to one person. But bringing it back to the conversation as to why we're nothing without struggle is because struggle is inevitable in life. And it will definitely change how you interact with the world that is external to you. And we don't spend enough time practicing all of those skills of awareness, mindfulness, being in the moment. We don't check in with ourselves. We don't critically reflect on all of the challenges that we're facing and perhaps even our involvement in creating those challenges that don't necessarily have to be there. You brought something really interesting about the gym, and that's a form of exercise. But if we look at the population in general, there's higher degrees of obesity worldwide. And I think inevitably that comes out of the comfort of the lives that we are all so very lucky to have in comparison to other nations that perhaps still have to struggle in the ways that maybe my family did or yours as well, you know, back in the day. And they perhaps faced physical and mental challenges in trying to provide for their families and going through sort of the motions to give their kids a better future. And now that we have that better future, we're struggling to even hang on. And I think it's because of that comfort. We forgot what struggle is. We forgot that struggle is good. It's okay to struggle. We all just are chasing a happy life. But anybody that tells you that life is always going to be happy and good and we can chase happiness and at some point we're going to reach that level of happiness that we were laughing about earlier, but an angel isn't going to come down and be like, congratulations, like you found your purpose, you found happiness. From now on, you're going to be happy forever. Like it ain't like that.
Yeah, it's not realistic.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't go that way. This part about comfort that you brought up, I was hoping the conversation was going to go in this direction because there's something that I have noticed that I'm sure you've also been seeing, but It seems that as a society currently, we are having a very difficult time understanding the fact that we are not entitled to always be comfortable.
Facts.
And I think that the way that things are going, I am quite worried for this new generation that's coming up because oftentimes it seems to me anyways, and I'm going to say maybe my view is biased because in the work that I do in the field of mental health, a lot of the work that you and I both do, It's with teenagers that are troubled. So this Gen Z that's really having a difficult time navigating through life. So perhaps our viewpoint is going to be biased because of that.
100%.
But it almost seems to me like people feel that they are entitled to be comfortable all the time, which just is not realistic. In no point in history has that ever been the case.
Yeah.
Every generation has had to go through some form of significant struggle to get to the place where they can then be good or okay or whatever that looks like, right? That's always been the cycle. You do need to go through hard stuff to be able to win the ability to have a life of ease. But I think that the problem is that when people are born into that life of ease, inevitably when the cycle comes back around and it's now time to work harder to have to go through struggle to be able to get to where you want to be and become who you want to, who you're destined to be or who you believe you should be, that's where we start running into issues. Because if we're not able to digest and understand the fact that struggle is going to be a natural part of our existence and it's going to especially be a very prominent part of any sort of worthwhile pursuit, then things are going to be difficult, far more difficult than they maybe need to be, right? Because the attitude that we have going into things is going to have, as we've said, a huge determining factor. And so what do you foresee happening in terms of this next generation that's coming up? Do you think that this is something that they're going to be able to work through? Do you think that this is something that's going to continue to plague them? What are your thoughts on that?
I already think that we are seeing issues in regards to struggle and comfort. I can only speak on my individual experience, but there's so many things that are intertwined with this whole ordeal. Like you have labor shortages of people that are just not willing to work. Now, I don't necessarily think that's because of struggle necessarily. I think that people are incredibly greedy and are trying to pay people less and less, even though things are getting more expensive. So that's another conversation for another episode. But I think for the most part, generally, if you think about jobs that are competitive and highly comfortable, there's so much more competition because everybody wants that kind of job. Everybody wants a really high paying job that's comfortable, that requires less effort. And I also think all the access that we have to things that provide us with that immediate gratification also plays a huge role in our interpretation of what struggle actually really is. And yeah, working in the field of mental health, I think it really opens your eyes about that. Because, I mean, I've always asked myself the question that I've never found an answer to, and I don't think anybody has found an answer to, if you can put two people of the same family in the exact same environment and try to control it as much as you can, and the outcomes will always be different. But again, that comes down to the own person's interpretation. And there's so many more intangibles, and then maybe it's slightly incorrect for me to put that as an example. But what I'm really trying to get to in regards to struggle is that we are so dependent to our external environment that is just throwing comfort down our throats. There's multiple TV shows that, you know, are going to entertain you, and instead of you going out and learning, you know, how to exercise better, or maybe taking the time to stretch and care for your body, or maybe learning how to cook healthier foods. And basic needs are now becoming a struggle, right? Because it's much quicker to grab your phone, look up what you want to eat, pick it up on whatever delivery company, and you got food in 30 minutes while you can still continue to binge watch your favorite TV show or play your favorite video game. And it even comes down to like personal relationships. Nobody wants to go through the struggle of being rejected and accepting the fact that not everybody's going to like you and not everybody's going to align with your beliefs. And that used to kind of be like a normal thing, you know? And struggle, I think, is becoming more of a problem. And I think that's why struggle is sort of become this like kind of phenomenon, in my opinion, of what is kind of breaking down society. We no longer have the capacity to persevere through very basic struggle. And I'm actually very concerned about what something like a World War III could do to the entire world. I know that as humans, struggle can also bring us together. That's another thing as well. But I do fear very much what that could have as an outcome for the entire population of the world if we don't start to embrace it and realize that struggle, like you said, and we've resonated with this multiple times already, is a part of life, is a necessary part of life. And struggle is really, in my opinion, it shouldn't even be what the word really is. Struggle should just be part of progress. It should be part of a learning process, right? Because struggle is just about having difficulty in doing something, but you get better at doing any type of activity the more you do it. So you're going to quote unquote struggle less. Now, obviously there's struggles in other areas. Like if you lose somebody and emotionally, you know, you could be hurting in that way. There's a variety of different struggles. So that's maybe too much of a generalized example. But I think, again, we're going to lose people that we care about. We're going to lose loved pets. We're going to lose jobs. So struggle in itself is inevitable. So the fact that we fear it, the fact that we despise it, it reinforces that negativity in our minds. And we're nothing without it. Because if we didn't struggle and we didn't know what struggle was, then what would society be?
Right.
We'd all be, I mean, in my head, I'd think of just people doing whatever they want when they want it, because there's really no consequences to our behaviors. We would just be a lawless society, which also would not work at all.
Yeah, facts, man. And I think that part of this whole idea of struggle that probably not very many people consider, I'd say, especially these younger generations, is that struggle is actually built into the way that this universe is designed.
Mm-hmm.
And fighting against struggle, or fighting against the idea that one cannot always be comfortable, is just counterintuitive to the way that this universe runs.
Yeah.
Because there is no point in any part of existence. Let's even say, we can't even just say like human existence. Existence in general requires struggle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Salmon, what do? They swim upstream, right? To get to where they go.
Right.
Right. They don't go with the rest of the current. They go where the water is hard, and they fight against that. And that's how they progress. If you go to the gym, you have to lift progressively heavier weights if you want to continue growing.
Mm-hmm.
For plants, they need progressively bigger environments, right? At every level, they need more sunlight, more fertilizer, right? It's a universal theme that in order to progress, there does need to be more resistance that we're going to fight against, right? Same idea, right? Planes fly against resistance. Birds fly because of the resistance of the air.
Yeah.
And so when we're able, and actually speak for myself, when I was able to start shifting that understanding to know that, okay, when I am facing struggle, or I'm sensing difficulty, or I see that I'm getting out of my comfort zone into that fear zone, reminding myself that what's on the other side of that is the growth zone, where I will be able to do more, right, in the future, I think is powerful. Because for myself, and I know that this is also a desire of yours, that I want to start a family in the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. And there's, in terms of being a parent, there's nothing but struggle there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I think our parents gave us good examples of that. But the amount of work that goes into ensuring that not only you're okay, but your kids are okay, there's a lot to that. And that's a threshold that once you cross, you will never uncross. Once you become a parent, you will forever be a parent.
Yeah.
Right. And so I know that in my life, just changing that narrative in my head, that struggle is something to be embraced as opposed to avoided, right?
100%.
Like, we've touched briefly on this, but this idea that struggle is actually your friend, right?
Yeah.
Struggle is that friend that
is your best friend,
right?
Sure.
It's one of your best friends, and you need to make it your best friend if it isn't. And the reason for that is the greatest of friends are the ones who will reveal things to you that you would have maybe never otherwise realized about yourself.
100%.
And not only that, but they're also the ones who are willing to tell you that hard stuff, right? That nobody else is able or willing to tell you.
Yeah, they celebrate your success, but they also will highlight that you're having difficulties or that you're veering off the road. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it kind of segued into what I was thinking as well about how struggle is also a very good indicator in our lives of things that perhaps we don't enjoy. Most recently, I think, you know, when you lose somebody, that struggle of letting go, right? And knowing that they're not going to be in your life anymore, I think really cements for you that you need to love your loved ones while they're here. And so it's a really good indicator of that. We talked about, you know, struggling through a new activity or new endeavors that you're partaking in. Again, that's just part of the learning process. So in a way, it really comes down to like struggle being your best friends, but also kind of like a teacher, right? It's a guide. It's letting you know about things in life that you haven't experienced, because at some point you've learned enough that the struggle may decrease or even be non-existent in that specific thing. So that's why we need to embrace it. And we need to, like we've been saying, just accept the fact that it's such a powerful indicator of growth in many realms of life. So I always kind of, the one quote that I think I've memorized for all of my life is that the one by Friedrich Nietzsche of "he who has a why will always overcome a how." And I think that one really encompasses this whole idea of struggle, because every time I've been hurting financially, you know, I thought, you know what? I understand that in order for me to do better, I got to work a little bit more. I got to make some cuts here and there. That's going to cause me to struggle.
Right.
But I know that, as you've mentioned in the past, on the other side of struggle is where I want to be. And I mean, it happened when I was in school. Oh man, I got an exam. I haven't studied. I got to buckle down, maybe not go hang out with my buddies, maybe not do my favorite activities. But through the struggle of studying and making the sacrifices that I made, I got a good grade on my exam. Mm-hmm. And so we need to embrace it, not like run away from it, not despise it. At the end of the day, when something is going to become difficult, it's because something good comes out of it. And I think through all of the book reviews that we've done and when we did the episodes on books that change paradigms, I think we really encompassed that idea. And a lot of those books really encompass the idea of knowing that there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of struggle in improvement. And I think we get really stuck on what improvement is. And I think a lot of people in self-improvement podcasts or books, they really sell this idea of like this high self, this person that is incredibly successful. And I think that everybody needs to find what that is for themselves, right? You don't have to, you know, have millions of dollars to feel successful, to know you are successful. Whatever it is that you desire in life, you can achieve, I think personally. And people might think it's crazy because there's limitations, but I think the limitation is ultimately in your head. It sounds maybe crazy to be the richest man alive, but I bet you there's somebody out there who has that mission and will do it at some point. Jeff Bezos did it, right? Bill Gates did it. How many people didn't believe in them? And the interesting part is they believed in themselves. They believed in what they were doing. They believed that the struggle that they were, you know, undergoing and all the people that bet against them, right? That was going to pay off. They embraced that. And so I think a lot of the times we want to kind of follow their paths and mimic some of their tips and tricks. And not that they've put any out, but I think a lot of people sell these programs on how to become a better influencer, how to become a better YouTuber or whatever. But that worked for them. right? That was the recipe for success for them. Can that yield success to other people? Sure, it can, but it never will yield the exact same success it yielded to that person individually. So it's very important for us to embrace our struggles in our life, because when you kind of make that your best friend, you work, like I said earlier, on the skills that you lack, and then boom, you're like doing improvements on who you are, and that inevitably is going to lead you to be like, all right, what's the next challenge? Let's go, bring it on.
It's that great revealer. And as cliche as it may sound, it's like the refining fire.
100%. Right?
In order, we've heard it a million different ways. Oh, diamonds are created under pressure, yeah, or gold is refined in the hottest fires, right? Yeah. And it seems lame and it seems trite and it seems cliche, but there's a reason for that, right?
So true.
What I learned early on in life is that the things that are cliches, they are cliche because they're often true,
yep,
which is why for generations and millennia, these are sayings that take on different forms, but inevitably they're still there because there's truth there, right? It's universal in application. There's something that you mentioned earlier about how we're able to identify those areas, right, that we are maybe lacking in.
Yeah.
What are some of those areas for you recently that struggle has highlighted as something that you need to maybe grow in, or an area that you maybe thought you were further ahead than you actually were?
I think in the last year, how do I word this so it makes sense? Accepting loss, if I can word it that way. I've had a lot of loss, maybe not just in the last year, the last 2 to 3 years. Man, I've lost grandparents, I've lost uncles, but I recently lost my pet for 12 years. Never really understood. I mean, I had pets throughout my entire life with my family, but I never really understood this whole notion of pets. And I had lost pets in the past, but this was like my dog. It was almost like a kid, an extension of me. My life was based around taking care of them, and my choices were based around that. So I can only imagine, and I'm not comparing the two, but this is like slightly what parenting is like, as you were talking about, like the struggle of being a parent and how your life completely changes. And once you kind of go through it, you know, you can't undo it. And so not being able to know what that pain felt like, because I don't have kids, you know, I'm not married, so I don't know it in that way. And I've lost grandparents and uncles, like I said, and that was obviously very hurtful. But you know, when you come home and that home is now suddenly empty, you know, even just the noises of their paws and their, and maybe the odd bark here and there, or they're come and hang out with you or lay around you, and that loss was like incredibly heavy for me, and I couldn't make sense of it, because I found that comfort in knowing that he would always be there, and you never actually think about the time where he'll be gone. But having said all of that, the biggest part of the loss that I struggled with the most is knowing that there could have been times where I could have spent more time with him and I didn't, choosing to partake in distractions in my environment. And that was probably the most hurtful thing, because in that personal struggle that I was kind of dealing with internally, I was kind of fighting myself and putting myself down on why I didn't capitalize on those moments. Because now that he's gone, I can't, you know, I can't do the things that I wish I could have done then or more of. And I think a lot of people probably resonate with that when they lose loved ones, you know, they wish they hugged their moms more or told them they love them more. And so the thing that helped me overcome that is a promise that I made to myself to be better, to be more aware and to be more mindful of the people that I care about, and to know that every day is not guaranteed. And in struggle, kind of as we're coming around to it, embracing that, like I said, is like a teacher, is like your best friend. It showed me that life is more than just the material and the success that you have. But for me specifically, life is about deep human connection. It's about providing depth to life and understanding what's important to you. And that's kind of why earlier I had mentioned what success is very different for everyone. And we don't need to continue to put ourselves to the comparison of what society deems as success. And we need to seek what success we actually deeply desire, which is why I personally believe, and getting a little bit off topic, that your purpose comes when you stop actually looking for it. Not that I found mine, because I've been looking for it And but I found that when I stop looking for it, I'm actually taking the time to listen to myself and what I need. And I take the time to just reflect on who I am as a person. It allows me to just be my true self. We touched on it a little bit on a previous episode on New World and how the world really is within us and we can make that change. But bringing it back to struggle, yeah, when you lose that one person, or maybe for many people it could be pets, it's hard because you want to go back, you want to do things better, you want to do them differently. But accepting that that's never going to be the case, you know, that's a struggle in itself. But making a promise to do better, and a lot of those people are changed for that.
Yeah.
You know, when they have that very impactful loss, I truly believe that people change generally for the better because they're very appreciative of life in itself. And, you know, we hope to make, you know, a positive impact in those around us.
I think that's something that was highlighted to me anyways, and what you just shared is that suffering and regret actually often go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. But the way that we choose to approach those two things is going to be that major determining factor on whether we get better or we get bitter. Mm-hmm. I think for myself, like, and actually Daniel Pink, who's an author and a speaker, he wrote a book entitled The Power of Regret. And it's a fantastic book that I would definitely recommend to anybody who wants to learn more about this idea of regret and how we can actually use it to our benefit. Mm-hmm. But in essence, what he talks about is we really have one of two or three options, I guess. Two of them are kind of similar. When we run into a situation that we ultimately end up regretting due to action or inaction, one of two things are possible. Either we can go and try to make it right, or we can change the way that we perceive it. So one example is, let's say that you're like, I've lost touch with this person and I regret that I haven't reached out or I haven't done what I needed to do to maintain that relationship. And that ultimately causes suffering within yourself. You can choose to immediately act on that and rectify that. You can reach out to them. But let's say in this situation, like you described, it's actually someone who's passed. And it was only after you've lost them that you realized how much better you could have done.
Yeah.
Your only option at that point is to do what Daniel Pink calls silver lining it. And you can say, at least blank, right? And you could take that so many different ways. At least I did prioritize spending the time that I did with them. Or at least I can learn from this and I can move forward so that I won't experience this situation again. And for myself, that is really the most powerful thing when it comes to suffering, is that it has allowed me to adjust my behavior and my viewpoints and the way that I see things, what I value, how I value what I value, and ultimately allows me to just make higher level decisions that will ultimately lead to hopefully better results for myself and those who are around me.
Yeah, you know, I just want to touch on that really quickly about the silver lining method. Funnily enough, I think that actually didn't work for me.
Okay,
you tell me why. A lot of the people that were giving me support, they all said, you know, you were a great owner, you took great care of them, you know. And I never found comfort in knowing that I did the things that I did.
Interesting.
Weirdly enough, yeah.
Why do you think that is, though?
Because I think maybe this is just an individualistic thing for me, that when the loss happened, I never really actually felt like I did enough, even though in the eyes of others, I did enough. And I think this is why, again, like, people's perspectives will be so individualistic and people's struggles is so specific to themselves, which is why I kind of continue to say the same thing around figure out where your deficiencies are, because as that is useful for you, which is amazing, and that is definitely an amazing skill to identify. For me, the actual thought of knowing that, or rationalizing in my head, I did the best that I could, wasn't enough. For me, what kind of changed it was, I will do better next time in other areas of my life so that I know that when they do pass, I did my very best.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because I know there were moments where, you know, I could have been playing with him, but instead I was more preoccupied with like watching a TV show or playing a video game. And that's the stuff that like kind of really hit me hard, because I couldn't allow myself to rationalize it that way.
I think it's probably because you knew it wasn't true, right? Like, if you, people telling you to believe something that you in your heart know is not true, this is not going to be helpful, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that where the power comes is the second piece of what you said, is that you know what you're going to do differently next time.
Yeah.
Right. And so I personally also see that as a way of silver lining. You're like, you know, I may have failed this time, but at least I'll have another opportunity to do better next time. Yeah. And when that comes, you'll be very, very incentivized to actually follow through on that.
Everybody goes through grief and like the steps of grief. And that's, again, another conversation for another day.
You're getting into Kubler-Ross now, eh?
Yeah. But, you know, kind of bringing it back to struggle, like it's so different, right? Just like everything in life, I think we try to label things and we try to identify ways to provide thing, you know, problems with specific identifiable like names and methods. But even though I think there's some validity to all of that, life just isn't like that.
Yeah, it's not that black and white.
It never is. And I just think we need to stop trying to label everything and trying to identify with everything and just try to apply it how it applies in our lives and figure it out for ourselves and stop trying to be like, oh, you know, I've struggled with this or you're struggled with this, so we're the same. It's like, hell no, we're not.
Yeah, it's not. Like, it's stop, not that. It's not that
trying to tell me that your loss is the same as mine. It's,
yeah,
you know, or like that my struggle with work is the same as yours or my struggle with money, like it. Stop.
Yeah, it's you a dangerous, I mean? It's a dangerous slope, man, because as we've identified, and you actually hit it really well when you said that two people in the same family can go through the exact same thing and have vastly different experiences. Yeah. Right. And so, and I think that that's a nice way to kind of end it on, man, is that it's not nearly as black and white. It is complex and it's an ever evolving thing in terms of how one person to the next, we're going to interpret suffering. And I think that while there is definitely value in, because there's that saying, right? Misery loves company. And why is that? Is because people who are going through a hard time, they feel comfort when they're saying, oh, I'm not the only one who's suffering right now, right? And we've seen that in so many different ways.
For sure.
I'd say probably the most extreme example that I can remember in my lifetime is 9/11, right?
Yeah.
How I would say the whole West, all of Western society kind of rallied around the US during that time. And everybody was on a united front in a way that we haven't seen for a long time. Yeah. So suffering does have that uniting quality, but I think you're right that we do need to be mindful of the fact that just because everybody appears to be feeling one way doesn't mean that that's actually the way that they're actually dealing with that suffering.
True.
There's a lot to that, man. And so it's been interesting kind of diving into this just because I think that suffering is something that people do understand in a general way that it is part of life, but there's so many more facets to it. And it's a lot more, I don't know, I think it's a lot more nuanced than maybe even I myself had thought about when I first started thinking about the power that inherently lies in suffering well.
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of, as we're closing down with this, is to not allow struggle or suffering to define you, but to use it to define yourself.
Oh, that's deep.
What I mean?
I like that.
And I think that in my life, I've experienced both. And when I've chosen that, the path to use it to define who it is that I want to be, I've benefited greatly.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to why struggle is important.
Yeah.
Right? And we're nothing without it.
God makes struggle your friend, right? Because it's an inevitable part, right? And it's just easier. Well, let me not maybe use the term easier. It's more fruitful, right? To walk hand in hand with suffering as opposed to trying to fight it because suffering ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. And if you're struggling and you need help and, you know, get the help that you need for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't got to suffer alone, but you do got to suffer.
That's for sure. Suffering is inevitable.
Amen to that. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode, guys. As always, we greatly appreciate the support. And if you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We everywhere. We out here everywhere. So make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to that because we got tons more tasty treats coming your guys' way.
Absolutely. Thanks for watching.
Take care.